So then I thank God tonight for the opportunity to be here. I praise God for Brother Leon, for his family, and I praise God for every one of you that have come over to hear us or to be with us in the meeting. And I appreciate Brother Junior McKellum being here tonight, and James, we appreciate him coming out. There's others that are here that we appreciate so very much. Some of you we've not seen in a good long while, but we still remember you. We still pray for you. We still try to hold you up in prayer. You know, Samuel, I believe it was, said, God forbid that I should sin against God by not praying for the people. Yes, and so it is a sin against God for the ministry and those that are called into the kingdom of God. It's a sin for them not to pray for the people. So then God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for his people. So then Paul said, we make remembrance of you always in our prayers. It's a wonderful thing to come to the house of God. And Brother Leon and I was talking just a little bit in the late evening. And was telling him how that the Lord spoke to me a long while back. I've been fasting some and praying and talking to God. And the Lord spoke to me about the sincerity of his people. That the people just wasn't sincere. And I've learned so many times, you know, in going into a meeting in different places around the nation that it's like playing a game. You know, you have to go in and everybody's expecting something real super, and they expect you to come up, you know, and all souped up or soup everything up, you know, like a hot rod. And everybody's like they're playing a game, and they come in that kind of attitude. And because of that, well, the minister, he gets up and he realizes that if he don't do something super duper, he'll lose his congregation or lose their mind, you know, and they'll be gone. So he hustles in and he starts stomping his feet and slamming the desk and moving and screaming and hollering and doing everything and trying to get somebody else to holler. And he'll jump up and say, somebody run for Jesus. And first news, you know, we got a big turmoil and everybody said, glory to God, we're really having a meeting. But really, the Bible said, as it is written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Right. What really happened was, the minister knew that he had to do that. A lot of times he's so financially pressed, he's got to get an offer in some way. And he's got to get a crowd, and he's got to have the people. So he up and does that, and then when he does that, he just runs right over the scripture that tells us to be still and know that I'm God. Yeah. Study to be quiet. Yeah. And then we miss the real moving of the Spirit. But it is so wonderful when people begin to realize that being spiritual is coming to the house of God and getting into the mellow, wonderful presence of the gentle Holy Spirit. To where he can just settle down over us like a cloud of glory. Just settle down over us and just become the church, the people just become interwoven with him. Until you sit there and see visions in your seat. Prophesy, speak in tongues. Pray for the sick and something really happened. The Holy Spirit, the virtue, go out and really heal somebody instead of a lot of excitement that makes it look like that maybe you had a bushel of miracles and then after the service about 3 months you can't even find one out of the bushel. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right. So then, it would be so wonderful to be able to come together and really love God and really get into the Holy Spirit. You know, there's nothing more beautiful than to see a person really shouting under the anointing of God. I've seen few people in my life, but I've seen some. I do it myself when I'm alone by myself. That way nobody can't see me, you know, and I know it's for God. But you say, well, Brother Pike, you know, the way you talk, you just scare the shout out of everybody. Well, I'll tell you what, if I can scare it out, that's where it needs to go, is out. Because any shout that I can run off, it needs to be run off. If it's God, I believe that a person that is under the anointing of God could dance on the coals of hell and it wouldn't quench his spirit. I believe that. I really believe it with my heart. So then, I love to see a person shout. I love to see a person praise God. I love to see a person speak in tongues. I love to see interpretation. I believe the gifts of the Spirit are in the church. I don't agree with some that say they believe that the gifts should be in the church. I believe the gifts are in the church. And I believe that they should be utilized by the people. And I believe that it should be the real, genuine moving of the Holy Ghost. Something that will enrich us and get us ready for that coming life with Jesus. Now, we can have a great life with Jesus here. But I believe that we can really get in the Spirit, you know, and get prepared for that life over there. Now, it would probably take no less than a few years to preach to you what I understand of God. And by then, it might be growing late, the way the signs of the times are. I had a vision not too long ago, you know, and it expressed some of that very thing that I'm saying. Whereas you might say, well, Brother Pike, 3 years, that would just be too long. But I had a vision on the way down to Honduras. How do you remember? Some of you here I know remember us going down to Central America for a crusade there where God really blessed us. We reached about 40,000 people by literature. And was there in one of the big buildings that had hundreds and hundreds of people that turned out for our crusade there. But before I left, the Lord told me that He was going to speak to me. And He did. And He told me that He'd speak to me. And I told the people, I said, after I pass Houston, Texas, He'll speak to me. Whereas I was a little disappointed in that He didn't speak to me right after I passed Houston. And looked like He'd forgot me altogether. I got down into Mexico, way down into Mexico, hundreds of miles into Mexico. He still hadn't spoke to me. And I was really disappointed. And then when I got over into Guatemala, I thought, well, for sure He'll speak to me here. But He never spoke to me. We passed on through Guatemala. And then when I was in Honduras, way down in Honduras, or way up in Honduras, way up in the mountains, way up in the mountains. Some of the highest, most treacherous mountains that we've ever been in. One night we pulled into a little old cow town, just a little old nothing you might say as far as a city. Just a little old town, and the clouds were heavy, the dew and the mist was heavy up in that area. It was like a paradise as far as breathing, you know, because it was just way up in the clouds. And right there we pulled in for the night. And God spoke to me, and He told me some things right there. And in the vision, I was trying to write it down, and I couldn't find a pencil. And something said, let Sister Betty write it down. So I called Betty, and she wrote it down. They still got the paper of what He said to me. But I said that to say this, that whereas I said it would take about 3 years, you know, in this vision, the voice said it would take 25 years. So then there's a lot to be said. I believe that's right in that 25 years. So then there's a lot to be said. There's a lot to be understood, a lot to be learned, a lot to be known about the great Spirit of God and the things of God. But there's one thing about it. The Spirit of God will guide us into all truths and all righteousness if we're willing to understand. So the Bible tells us when we come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools, because faith cometh by hearing. And our strength is the joy of the Lord. And the only way to have the joy of the Lord is through faith in the Word. Now, we chose a subject the other night. We saw that it was going to be here about 3 days. Tonight's the last night. But we saw it was going to be here about 3 days. We didn't advertise the meeting, didn't let anybody know anything. We just come. And I felt like the Lord would give us some people to preach to, and it was a revelational thing anyway. So we just come. And I saw we'd be here about 3 days, so I chose a little text from over in the book of Revelation. Over in the 10th chapter, and we kind of highlighted a few things and talked about a few of those things. Whereas, there's many things that I'd like to say. Like to say many things. Last night, we got into a little revelation, and I would have gone on into some of the present-day truths of things that are happening right now concerning Bethlehem and concerning the world ordinance of peace and concerning what's happening right here at Pope. Last night, I really wanted to get into that, But my listeners had been real good listeners and had listened right up to the point to where I would have changed over into that. And I felt a few of my young people back there begin to get just a little bit weary. And they had had deep interest in what we were saying, so I didn't press on them. I just let them go. But I sure would like to have said some things concerning the present day truth. You know, we really need to know what's happening right now. How do you agree to that?
Amen.
We need to know right now.
Yes, amen.
I said, Brother Pike, we can't really know right now what's taking place, but the Bible tells us that we can. It says that we're not children of darkness, but children of light. We're not children of darkness that day should come upon us unawares. The Bible said we shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. And then when we see these things come to pass, that we should know that it is at the door. And I see some things taking place now that I know, it makes me to know that it's at the door. I'd like to talk with you just a little bit tonight and try my best to explain a few things that we understand of the Word of God. And I hope that you have ears to hear tonight, or hope I can say a little something that you might enjoy. And Brother Floyd is feminine, but he's used to feminine in front of people, and our people, the few that are here tonight, they are used to him feminine. So don't let this bother you. It's our work for TV, and we're doing some work for God on TV and reaching the people. We're doing some work on radio. We're doing some work by literature. And we're reaching millions of people. And that makes me happy. I'd like to be reaching billions, you know. But if I can't reach the billions, I'll reach the millions. But we're reaching millions of people by radio, by literature, and by TV. In Atlanta, Georgia alone, just in that area, we cover over 2 million people just in that one little area. Whereas the program there goes out many, many miles into different states of millions and millions of people. But we've been able in our lifetime to reach many millions of people by some of the biggest radio stations in the different parts of the world. And we're trying our best to do what we can. Right now we're reaching all the way from Pennsylvania to Arizona by radio, and all the way from Pennsylvania to Indiana by TV. And we're fixing to go on another station that will give us a greater outreach. We'd like for you to pray for us. Our last mailing was over 125,000, I believe. And I believe they've got about 70,000 papers ready to go out now. We're sending them out sporadically, but we hope to be more consistent in it as time moves on. Our interest is to win souls. But we have a great desire to try to get the Word of God over to the people and get the Word of God into their hearts that they might enjoy it and that they might benefit from it. So then, as I said, being here, we chose to talk a little bit from the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation and to build around it just a little bit to see if we could enlighten some of those perhaps that are not enlightened. Now, some of you perhaps already know the things that we're saying, and perhaps they wouldn't be any benefit to you. But there's others that don't know, and others that haven't heard, and they would like to know. And to those, they're the one we speak to. Now, I'd like to read, first of all, from the book of Matthews. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn over to the 12th chapter of the book of Matthews, and I hope Brother Leon will share a little of that water with me. It's still hot to me. I don't know about you, you know, but it's still hot to me. In the 30th verse of the book of Matthews, the 12th chapter. Matthews, the 12th chapter it is, and let's just start in the 25th verse. That'll give us a better understanding here. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and they shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from which I came out. When he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered in and dwelt there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. All right, we'd like to take a thought or two there, and then we'll try to tie some things together over in the 10th chapter. Now, if you'll notice here, the Bible says that the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation. That is, though the queen of the south is dead and passed on, gone, buried, yet one day God said that she will be resurrected, and she will be brought back, and she shall stand with the congregation of the people. She shall stand in the midst of the congregation of the people, and she shall turn to the people, and she shall say to the people, I came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And then there came a day when the body of the Lord Jesus Christ itself, the sons of God, went through the earth speaking, and you didn't even come from across the hillside over there. And the Bible said, in that day she shall condemn the generation, because the Bible tells us that it is not the minister speaking, but it is God that speaketh from within. And the Bible tells us that we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and that the body of the Lord Jesus is in the earth today, and the tabernacle of God is among men. And she will stand in that day and condemn the people, because she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and others failed to come even from across the street to hear the voice of the eternal Spirit as it expressed itself through human instrumentality. So it's going to be a sad time. God tells us here in his word, even in the days of his preaching, that this kind of hour would be, even in Jesus' day. Many people did not come to hear him preach. And he told them, he said, I am greater than Solomon. There's a greater here today than Solomon. She came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But the Bible said today there's a greater than Solomon. And you say, Brother Pike, who is the greater than Solomon? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is greater than Solomon. And today there is a greater than Solomon that's come to speak to you today. All right, so then the Bible said, let the church hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And this is the thing that we're interested in tonight, is coming to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thing that we'd love to get a hold of. If you don't mind me getting comfortable tonight to where I can talk with you. This is the thing that we'd like to get a hold of, is the revelation of Christ Jesus. Now, if you do not have the revelation, then I believe that you need the revelation. You might say, well, I don't feel that I need the revelation, Brother Pike. But I believe that you need the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle on one occasion said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Is that right? If you don't have the spirit of revelation, you need the spirit of revelation. I emphasize the spirit of revelation. I emphasize the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because John says in his writings that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Read the first part of it and you'll find out that the Bible said the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him. Is that right? To show unto his servants the things that must shortly come to pass, and sent and signified it by, or gave unto his servant, and he sent his angel to signify it. Is that right? Now, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. We find in the Bible that this is the thing that Paul emphasized. When Paul spoke about coming over to the Gentile people, what did he say? He spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ that God intended for the church to have. And we see that the Gentile church is altogether different from the Jewish church. Is that right? The Jewish church is the church in the wilderness. And God established this church upon the rock of the Word and said that it should be a spiritual church with a spiritual revelation. You know, the one thing that's going to cause the church to miss the coming of Jesus is that they keep looking for a natural Jesus. Are you listening? A natural Jesus to appear in a natural heaven to come back after a natural church. That's what's going to cause them to miss it. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that you don't believe there's a natural Jesus coming in a natural cloud to catch a natural church away? I believe there is a natural Jesus. I believe there's a natural church. And I believe there's a natural cloud somewhere that he'll come back in. I believe that. I believe that Thessalonians teaches that. But I want you to know that that has nothing to do with the Gentile people. God tells us that there is a spiritual Christ that's coming to a spiritual church to be glorified in the spiritual saints, that all the world may come and kneel at their feet and know that he hath loved them, that he is returning in a spiritual cloud of witnesses coming suddenly into his temple. Christ to the church, the spiritual church. Jesus to the natural Jew church of the wilderness. Is that right? The King of the Jews. He said, what I have written, I have written. Is that right? The King of the Jews. You remember over there, the Jews came to Jesus and said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? See, they were looking for Jesus. They knew that the Bible spoke of a prophet coming. And the Bible had stated, said there'll be a prophet that's coming. Moses said it shall come to pass that God shall raise up a prophet unto you like unto me. And it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear this prophet shall be cut off from among the people. And they kept looking for that prophet. They knew that that prophet was to come. And they knew it was to be a prophet because Moses said it would be a prophet. And they kept waiting for the prophet. Isn't that right? Talking to some Jews not too long ago, I said, I guess you're really looking forward to the coming of Jesus. I knew that there wasn't, but I just wanted to see what kind of rebound I'd get, you know, what kind of answer I'd get. He said, well, we're looking for the prophet, a prophet to come. He said, we don't know who it might be. It might be Elijah. Could be Moses. Could be anybody, you know, other prophets. He said, but we're looking for a prophet. See, because the Scripture says that God will raise up a prophet like unto Moses, and they that will not hear that prophet shall utterly be cut off from among the people. Now you know, and I know that Jesus was that prophet. Is that right? Jesus Christ was that prophet. Now they did not know that Jesus was that prophet, but they felt something that was taking place, and they went to him. And they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But all of a sudden, to their shocking amazement, a voice spoke back and said, my kingdom is not of this world. And it shocked them because they knew that the prophetical utterance was that he would come and sit upon the throne of David and that he would rule with a rod of iron. And they could not understand it. But that voice that answered back confounded them. Who was it? Was it Jesus? Jesus said, it is not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father. See, if Jesus himself had spoke back, Jesus would have said, yes, in just a short while, I'm going to establish the millennium out here, and I'm going to sit on a throne out here, and we're going to rule right here in this world. Isn't that right? But see, the Jesus part was sacrificed for the sins of humanity. And the Christ part was speaking. And the Christ part was coming to the Gentiles. And the Christ part was taking over. And the Jesus part had hung there and died and gave his life for the atonement. Is that right? And here the Christ was speaking. And the Christ confounded them by saying, my kingdom is not of this world. See, my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And he turned around to him and he said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. See, you're looking for it by observation. You're watching the stars like the wise man. You're looking for it out here in the natural. Said he doesn't come by observation. And he confounded him even the more. He said, for the kingdom of God is within you. And that really confounded him. They couldn't understand it. Here, he had just completely spoke the kingdom of God out of existence as far as a natural thing. It was just completely gone. They had nothing to hold to. But see, it was the Christ saying that at this hour I've come to set up a kingdom, but it's going to be a spiritual kingdom. I'm going to set this kingdom up, and I'm going to rule and reign in the heart of mankind. Did you know tonight that high priest, Aaron the high priest, Christ in the office of the high priest, at this hour is officiating within your heart and within my heart. This is the hour of the high priest. This is the office of the high priest in this hour where the Holy Ghost, Christ Jesus, His Spirit, is mediating between man and between God, talking to God and taking the blood, the innocent blood of the Lamb for the atonement into the presence of God that you might be free. You love Jesus?
Amen.
All right. So then we see that this thing is a spiritual thing. Paul, having received the revelation, he said, I would like to speak unto you as spiritual people. I would like to talk to you as spiritual people. See, Jesus wanted to talk to the Jews as spiritual people. Paul wanted to talk to the Jews as spiritual people. But he couldn't speak to them as spiritual people. He said, you're still babies in Christ. Just desire the sincere milk of the word. He didn't reject them. But he said the meat belongs to the strong. They who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. But he didn't reject them. He just said desire the sincere milk of the word. Go on shouting and singing, praising God. That's all right. Go on, he said. But when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. But if you're just going to be babes, just go ahead and rejoice and have a good time. That's all right. But he said, woe unto them that give suck in that day. Woe unto them. There's coming a time when you're going to wish that you had grown up in God. There's going to come a time when you're going to wish that you'd exercise your senses to come to the real foundation of God. You see, you take a ministry like children. A child can go out here and he can just draw bukus of children. Say, let's play ball, and he'll grab a bat and sling it on his shoulder with a glove on it and go down to the ball field, and young'uns come from everywhere. Isn't that right? And they holler and scream and skip and jump and shoot marbles and bat the ball and jump rope and all kind of things. See, and the crowd comes. Isn't that right? That's the way it is with the ministry today. If you want to get out among the babes and just have a good time and don't require nothing, don't lay down nothing, don't tell them nothing, just rejoice and have a good time, everybody will come out. See, all the children of the neighborhood will come out. But brethren, when you get down to really learning something, you've got to really pin things down and really get in school for God, really get in college for God. See, it looks like that it's better to skip out here and run up and down the road in a hot rod. You know, when you're a young feller, just live it up. Don't go to school. Don't study. Don't put in any time of studying. But one day, You look over here and here's a doctor and here's a dentist and here's a lawyer and here's a president and here's a governor. Those that worked their way through college, those that worked their way through school, those that took time to listen. See, and you played around and played around. And you find out that they're over you, that they're the powers and the authorities. You don't like it, but see, they went to school for that, see. They trained for that while you was a dropout. You understand what I'm saying? So then what we need to do is to get out of business with God. We need to come together and study to show ourselves approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. We need to pray to God and ask God to give us the spirit of revelation that God may reveal to our hearts and our lives. We need to get away from the playing. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let's get in there and get the meat. Let's get in there and get strong. Let's get in there and find out what this thing is all about. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, I'm just satisfied, Brother Pike, just to drive my automobile around. Where would we be at? You follow? You say, well, we'd be better off, Brother Pike, back there. Well, that could be, but the Bible said you don't answer wisely when you talk like that, saying the former days was better than these. I don't think it was better. What little I knew about them, it wasn't better. My dad pushed the push cart trying to make a living, do the best he could. What near as good as it is today. You love Jesus? All right, so we're advancing in the natural things of life. So are we advancing in the spiritual things of life. Now, in that day, the team model would have been fine because it outclassed the horse and the buggy. But today, a team model would be in the way. Did you know that? So then that means that we've got to move on in God. We've got to come to some kind of understanding. We've got to develop our senses in Christ and get down to business for God. The shadows of the evening are falling. The day is far spent. The night is at hand. Gross darkness is covering the people. And we need to get out into the deep things of God to let down our nets for a draught, get way out into the deep to where we can get something. They came in and Jesus said, children, do you have anything? They said, well, we've toiled all night. We've not taken anything. Amen. He said, let's get down to the deep things. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. He said, let's launch out into the deep. That's what we need to do. Amen. Is get out into the deep. There's something for us. But brethren, as long as you just fish around the edges, that's all you're going to catch is a few toad frog. Frog fish, they call them, you know. Few tadpoles, few little things that's not worth eating. And if you do find anything that would be eatable, it'd be so small it wouldn't benefit you. But when you get way out into the deep, have you ever been deep sea fishing? When you get way out into the deep and you get in the right place, and then when something latches onto that hook, you know you've got a load. And you got to fight because you got a catch. You understand what I'm saying? That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to get way out there and let down our nets for a draught and really get something. Now I know that when you go fishing, you're going to catch all kinds of things. The Bible said the net's been thrown out all among the Gentiles. And when you draw it in, you get all kinds of things. Isn't that right? You get things that's terrible to look at. But the Bible said when it's all drawn in, we just sit down and throw out everything that we don't want. Did you know that throwing away time has done come? How do you know that? Did you know that we're moving into the hour of the throwing away time? That ministers are literally confounded. They come by my place and they say, Brother Pike, what's happening? What's happening? I say, what are you talking about? They say, well, I preached a simple sermon and hundreds of people would come to the altar. So I'm preaching the same sermon now and I can't hardly get anybody converted. I said, what's taking place? It's throwing away time. See, it's throwing away time. It's been gathering time. The nets has been out. God has thrown them out there. There's been revival all over the world. Gathering everything. But see, we've got to the shore. And now it's time to throw away some of those things that we caught. And the ministers can't stand that. Every time they go to throw away something, they measure it by the pocketbook. And they measure it by the dollar. And they see some pews emptied and the church is not filled up the way it was. Somebody down on the corner says they're not prospering too much up there anymore. Their congregation is getting small. But see, it's throwing away time. Jesus threw out his nets and hundreds and thousands of people came to his ministry. Isn't that right? But one day throwing away time came. And the Bible said this one left and that one left and another one left and 1,000 left and 200 left. And after a while, Jesus looked around and said, my land, I don't have anything but just that which has started with the 12.
Amen.
And he said, are y'all fixing to leave me? They said, no, we're going to stay with you. Somebody say, I love Jesus. See, we've come to down to the throwing away time. It's separating time. It's time to separate the wheat from the tares. And brothers and sisters, when we come to that time, that means God's doing a new thing, something he hasn't done before. He said, in the end of the world, I'll send forth the reapers, and the reapers will gather all, everything, just cut down everything, and they'll bind the tares into bundles, and then they'll throw them into the fire. And then the other reapers will come along, and they'll take the wheat, and they'll gather it into the garners. Isn't that right? And I said last night, everybody's got an ordination in this world. You've got an ordination. I've got an ordination. Everybody's got an ordination. Every preacher that's on the field today, he has an ordination. The Bible speaks of men said that they were before of old foreordained under this condemnation. They had an ordination. See, they were before of old ordained in that condemnation. Every minister on the field today has an ordination to gather his bundle. And I said last night, God knows what's in your heart. Those that come together in this bundle, God knows their heart. Those that come together in another bundle, God knows their heart. God sends a minister that'll please you. He sends a minister that'll please me. And he sends a minister that'll please somebody else. And he knows the insincerity of people's heart. And God knows who wants the truth and who doesn't want the truth. So he just sends somebody to gather the bundles. Isn't that right? And whatever that fellow's ordination is, he gathers his bundle. And everybody that's insincere, if that person is ordained for that purpose, then they follow him. If it's a shout, a hoop, and a holler, if it's praying for the sick, if it's resurrecting the dead, if it's preaching the word, whatever it might be, everybody follows the minister that they want to follow, and the bundles are bundled up.
Amen.
And every man takes his bundle. All right, it's like I had a vision one time. I related it. I was out fishing in the vision. I was really fishing. And after a while, we all got through fishing, and I looked around, and there was fishermen everywhere. And there were fish. I never seen like the fish in my life. Some of them big, huge fish. And I looked at this fish, and I looked at that fish, and I just took my time, and I began to go around, and I looked at the fish, and my, what fish they were. How many huge, some of them beautiful fish, even mermaids. And I looked at them, and I thought, my, mine. And I went over and looked at mine, and mine was a big old fat group of looking thing out of proportion. I thought, my land, look at my catch. You know, it was a big fish. But I thought, my, it's so undone in the presence of all these other fish that when that inspector comes by, he probably won't even take the second look, you know, after looking at all those fish. But, you know, to my amazing surprise, when the inspector came by, he said, this is the fish right here. And he picked my fish, and I got the blue ribbon. Somebody say, I love Jesus. See, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward appearance. God judges for quality. My fish was one of the best eating fish in the whole bunch. Hallelujah. The Bible said, taste and see if I'm good. Hallelujah. So then, what we need to do is judge righteous judgment. Get down to business with God. Find out what God wants and follow God, because we got an ordination of the earth. We got a bundle that we've got to get together. And God is watching to see what kind of bundle we're going to get together. Is that right? All right, so then there's some things that's taking place. Even this night, I left to slow down from the preaching a little bit. You know, you kind of get over, Paul said, I'm a preaching, a teaching, kind of get over in a teaching stream, you know, into the revelational mind of Christ. We'll have to go whichever way the Spirit goes. But last night, there were some things that I was wanting to say, trying to bring out some things. And I saw last night I couldn't. Even though I brought out some revelation last night, yet some present day truths, I couldn't bring them out last night because I felt that I would press over the people. All right. Now, notice this. We're going to drop in on Revelation 10 again now. Please see just a little bit. We're going to drop in on Revelation 10. Don't forget now, I said last night concerning Revelation 10, we said concerning the seventh verse, but in the days of the voice. In the days of the voice. Remember that. We took chapter 10 and we took the first part of it. Now I'm going to relate again the first part. And I saw another mighty angel. Remember, John said, I looked up into heaven, and I saw an angel. And he said, this angel had such glory till it lightened all of the earth. I like that, don't you? The Bible said that your eyes might be enlightened, the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length, Paul says. So then we see God trying to tell us something. This angel came down from heaven that John spoke of and said his glory lightened the entire earth. There was an understanding. There was a revival. There was an inspiration that came forth. God did something with that angel. All right, John says here he's all, we say, up in the air. He really was up in the air. John really got up in the air over the thing. And here John is up here, a voice that said to him, said, John, said, come up hither. And John saw the door open in heaven, so he just decided to go up there where the voice was. See, and God said, John, I'd like to show you something, son. John, as quick as he could get his breath, I suppose, he listened real close. And then he said, I saw another mighty angel. Now notice, it didn't just say this was the mighty angel. A lot of times in Revelation we say the mighty angel, but the Bible didn't say that. John said, I saw another mighty angel. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Bible uses the terms that Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept, the first brother among many brethren. Isn't that right? You know, the Bible said in heaven we're all as the angels. Isn't that right? So then in the spirit, what are we? We are angelic beings. I said last night, we are spiritual beings that dwell in these little tabernacles of clay. Yes. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And the world blasphemes the name Jesus, which is the name of the tabernacle. For God tabernacles in us. The Bible tells us that we are the temples of the Holy Ghost. John said, I saw this great tabernacle of God come down and sit down in the midst of mankind. And he said, behold, the tabernacle of God is among mankind. You follow me? So then God tonight walks in you. God talks in you. God's in his tabernacle tonight. God's trying to do something with you tonight. You are special in the sight of God tonight. I related that little bit about the song the other night. God made me something special because there's only one of me. There's only one of my kind, the song says. So then you're special tonight because God made you just one of your kind. Just one of your kind. See how sad it is? How sad it is? Not even two fingerprints alike. See, if God loses you, he has a great loss. He can never replace you because there's not two of your kind. You follow me? See, there's not two of you. There's just one of you. So you're special to God. All right, so God tabernacles in us. God wants to do great things with us. God wants to use Joseph. God wants to use Philip. God wants to use our brother Buddy. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. God wants to do something special with us. All right. Now you say, what kind of people do you suppose we are, Brother Pike? If we're not like those people out there, then what kind of people are we? Superman. Superwomen. Come on now. Hallelujah. The world doesn't know our identity yet. The Bible said that we're sons of and daughters of God. See, we are super people. We are a super race. You know, Hitler thought he had the super race. He just had a strong delusion and learned it too late.
Amen.
Learned that that's what he was. But folks, we really are the supermen of God. We are the super race of God. Hallelujah. We're more than a man. We're supermen. We're God men. Hallelujah. So then God is doing something special in our lives. All right. John said, I saw another mighty angel. Said this angel was clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head. His face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. Set his right foot on the sea, left foot on the earth, lifted his hand to heaven, swear by him that liveth forever and ever, the Ancient of Days, that time should be no more. And the Bible said he cried and he roared as with a lion roared. And the Bible said when he had cried, that seven thunders uttered their voice. I said last night, I love to think of this like this. Look at Calvary, and here Jesus is hanging between heaven and earth. The lion of the tribe of Judah hanging between heaven and earth. And he roars, the lion of the tribe of Judah. He roars, and seven thunders utter both their voices. The church ages ring out. One great thunder, and then another great thunder, and then another great thunder right on down through the church ages. as he roareth as with the voice of a lion. See, he uttered his voice, and the seven thunders began to boom, and they began to ring down through the church ages. And when the seal was opened, it said, one of the beasts said, come and see, and it thundered. And those thunders echoed down through the church ages. You understand what I'm saying? So then this great one that stood there, who was he? The Bible said, I will send the messenger of the covenant. In the book of Malachi, I will send you the messenger of the covenant whom you delight. He's the one that shall be as a refiner's fire and purge the sons of Levi. I will send him to you, even he, the messenger of the covenant. And it said the rainbow was about his head. Who is he that walked through the chambers of hell? Who is he that hath feet like pillars of fire? Only Jesus walked through the flames of hell. Only Jesus hath feet as pillars of fire. Who is he that John said when he was resurrected from the dead that it was as though the sun shined within his strength? Who is this great one that's covered with the clouds? For the Bible said he shall return in the clouds of glory. Who is that great one that comes in the clouds, that's clothed with the clouds? Who is he that hath the power and the authority to raise his hand and say, I swear the time shall be no more? God said to you and I, thou shalt not swear at all, didn't he? But the Bible said when God got ready, he said, I swear by myself because I can swear by no greater. Are you listening? But he said to you, you don't swear because you don't have the ability to carry it out. So you think you have the ability to carry it out, and when you swear, you think you can do it, but you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. He said, but I can do it. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So then here's one that swear. Look to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. And the Bible said when he spoke, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now let's get just a little technical tonight. We'll try not to take long, but I hope you'll give me a few more minutes than you did last night. How many give me just a few more minutes tonight? All right. Now, if time is no more, and I wish we had time to preach this tonight. Now, if time is no more, you can look around and say, time no more. What does that mean, time no more? What does it mean? What is time? Where did time come from? How did it get started? What is time? See, what is the origination of time? Where was it instigated? How did it ever get here to start with? God didn't put it here. God didn't put it here. You know, like death. Where does death come from? It comes from time. You get rid of time, you get rid of death. Are you listening? All right, so then where did death come from? Somebody would say, God put death here, Brother Pike. The Bible tells us that death did not come from God. The Bible tells us that death is the enemy of God. Isn't that right? Why should you and I want to fellowship death if it's the enemy of God? Come on now. The Bible said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Isn't that right? Do we have power over death or do we not have power over death? I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Isn't that right? Now he said, Brother Pike, well, there'll never be a people like that. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. Come on now, that's what we're talking about. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God shall be finished. Behold, I show you a mystery, he said. All right, so then, where does that come from? I wish we had time to go into it tonight. All right, so then we see here, let's just drop a thought or two. We see here that if the angel says that time is no longer, then that means that we can get rid of our clocks. Is that right? I don't need clocks anymore. If time's going to be any longer, what do I need a clock for? Then if God says time is going to be no longer, what do I need a calendar for? What do I need an almanac for? See, I get rid of all those things. I can throw them into the ocean. Why? Because, see, time shall be no more. Are you listening? Where did time come from? Time shall be no more. The end of time. See, we're living in the end of the world. How many of you agree to that? Amen. We're living in the end of the world. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. The signs of the time are here. Look at the astronauts that went up yonder. Where did they go to? They went up to the moon. What did they do? They looked back and saw the ends of the world. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, the ends of the world is here. They looked back and saw it was just a little ball floating around out in space. Is that right? Just a little old ball out there. What about time? When you get way out there, what are you going to do with time? See, when you get beyond the shadows, the song said, lift me up above the shadows. When you get above the shadows, David said, yea, though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, God looking down from the hilltops of glory, this world is a great valley to God. Amen. And over this great valley hangs the shadow of death, Satan, the prince of the powers of the air. Satan, the ruler that's over the powers between heaven and earth. God, way up yonder beyond the shadows, looking down. You ever been up in a great jet liner, get up above the clouds and look down? No clouds up there where you're at. They're between you and earth. Isn't that right? So then you get them clouds out of the way, you can see the earth. So then God looking down from heaven and David looking through the eyes of God, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of this death, he said, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. I've seen above the shadows. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is that? The word and the Holy Spirit. Thy word and thy spirit is my comfort as I walk through the valley of the shadow of this death. See, where does time come from? With God, there's no time. If we get up above the clouds, if we get up yonder in heaven, then there's no such thing as time. What are those astronauts going to do when they get up there? Way on out there. There's no time there. What are you going to do? Where's the boundaries? Where is the boundaries? You get out there and you travel a million miles. And when you get a million miles, you're nowhere. And you travel another million and you're nowhere. And you travel another billion and you're nowhere. Are you listening? Sleep breaking into infinity now. Getting out there, you said, oh, now, Brother Pike, there's no such thing. You haven't been keeping up with the science. I can see that right now. They've got some little ships out there that's done getting out there around Mars and Pluto and those places out there. And they say that they'll travel millions and millions and millions and millions of miles. And when they get there, there won't be nowhere. Isn't that right? All right, so the end of the world. Man's mind is beginning to excel, beginning to exceed his boundaries. That's why men are going crazy. That's why they're losing their minds. That's why they're putting them in cells that don't have anything to hold on to anymore. See, there has to be a formulated way of life, a formulated thought pattern. There has to be something to anchor man's spirit so that he can have a continuity of thought and a continuity of understanding. So then God sets him up as a beast and sets him up on a little time base, or time elements, where time elements are involved. All right, so then where does time come from? It comes from the shadows. You understand what I'm saying? Now let's look at it right quickly. We can't go into it tonight, but I'd love to say at least a few words about it. Let's look at it right quickly. Look at Adam and Eve in the garden. Over there in the garden, what a beautiful place it was. God present, Adam and Eve, under the Shekinah. Not being able to die now. They did not have eternal life. How many of you know they didn't have eternal life? Amen. They didn't have eternal life. But they were under the presence or in the presence of the Shekinah. Which means that they could live eternally. As long as they stayed in the presence of the Shekinah, they could have lived eternally. But see, being in the presence of the Shekinah, they could be enticed out of the presence of the Shekinah. And so it was to the beast, Satan, from the fall, enticed Adam through Eve, and Eve through the beast, out of the presence of God. The day that they left the Shekinah, they left the great light and they went into the shadows. Is that right? The Bible said that Lucifer was the son of the morning, but God cast him out into the darkness and he became the ruler of the darkness. Isn't that right? See, the son of the morning. There he was, the son of the morning. But God cast him out. We've got a tape back home when we preach the sermon, the son of the morning, to explain what it was. But see, the son of the morning, but he was cast out. He was a covering cherub, but he was cast out. God rejected him. He went into the shadows and then worked through the beast, the lowest level of life, to get back to God, the highest level of life, and had to work through man, which was next to God. And he enticed them out of the presence of the Shekinah. But did you know today something is different with you and I? I'm not in the presence of the Shekinah today. You that are born of God, you're not in the presence of the Shekinah today. What is the difference, Brother Pye? I am born to the Shekinah. I am not in the presence of the Shekinah. Those that are in the world today, the Gentile people that's in the world today, they're under the grace of God. But beloved friend, they can be enticed away. But I am born to the Shekinah. And the Bible said, he that is born of God, he cannot sin because he is born of God. The seed of God remaineth in him and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now it doesn't say he may not sin. It doesn't say that if he holds on tight he won't sin. It says he cannot sin because he is born of God. The seed of God remaineth in him. That's why Paul waxed so strong when he made the statement. He said, I'm persuaded to believe that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Heights can't do it. Depths can't do it. Things present can't do it. Powers can't do it. Life can't do it. Death can't do it. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's nothing that can take us from God because we are born to the Shekinah glory of God. We're born to that Shekinah. I'm born of it tonight. I'm one with it tonight. It's one with me tonight. I can't be enticed up under it because I am of it. I'm born of it. I'm a son of God tonight. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God, John said. I'm not campaigning to get to be a son of God. Friend, I'm already a son of God. I was born into the kingdom of God. And the Bible said men press their way into the kingdom of God. And tonight I'm standing in the presence of God tonight. Tonight I'm up in the heavenly places tonight. You know the thing that confounded old brother Nicodemus? When he stood over there and Jesus came up close to him. And they was talking and Nicodemus said, I'd like for you to answer a few questions for me, Master. He began to ask you a few questions. He knew he was a master. He had confounded everybody in that country. He knew he was a master. He didn't have to have a master's degree to show anybody. They knew he was a master. He walked up there and said, I'd like for you to answer a few questions for me. And he began to answer them. And he said, let me tell you something, Nicodemus. He said, no man's ever been up into heaven except the Son of Man or the Son of God, said, who came down from heaven. And he said, Nicodemus, who is in heaven? Now, you know, Nicodemus couldn't get his marbles together right there. He knew that he was talking about himself. He knew that here stood the Son of God. And he said that I have been into heaven. I've come down out of heaven. And Nicodemus, while I'm talking to you, I'm still in heaven. Amen. Somebody say I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Nicodemus was so tore up he didn't know which way to go. Jesus just simply said, why, Nicodemus, are you a teacher and a ruler of the Jews and don't know about these things? Amen. Oh, Nicodemus was tore up. Folks, God is doing something. Do you believe that? Yes. Somebody said, God's going to do something one of these days. God's been doing something all the time. You just didn't see it. The Bible said you're not the wicked or not see when good cometh. Isn't that right? Yes. God's been doing something all the time. All right. So then we see God doing something here. There is something that Christ has done. He has already translated people into the marvelous kingdom of God. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. It's not of this world, but yet the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And the Bible said men pressed their way into it. Now remember this. Jesus said to them, my kingdom is not of this world. He said they're going to come from the east and they're going to come from the west and they're going to sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom and the children of the kingdom are going to be cast into outer darkness. Is that right? Did it come to pass just exactly like Jesus said? The Jews was the children of the kingdom of David in that day. And the Bible said God cut them off at Calvary to bring the Gentiles in. And the Gentiles came from the east and they came from the west. They came from the north and they came from the south. And the Bible said God translated them into his marvelous kingdom. For God hath already translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. The Bible said Enoch was not, for God took him before his translation by faith. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God. Is that right? A translation by faith. So then today we are children of Abraham. We are children of faith. What happened to us? By faith I was translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Today I can stand with Jesus and I can say, Nicodemus, the Son of Man who is in heaven. I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. And whatever he is, the Bible said, so am I and he. You love Jesus? Where am I tonight? God has translated me into his marvelous kingdom tonight. I pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. Why? Because I believe in his word. All right, can we go just a little bit farther? I don't want to weary you tonight. All right, now. So then we see that God is doing something. The kingdom of God. The Bible said, Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on this earth, Lord, as it's already done up here in heaven. Father, thy kingdom, the law and the prophets, then thy kingdom. Now here's Brother Pike and Brother Wilson preaching, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth, Father, as in heaven. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I'm getting ready for that sweet by and by. Hallelujah. I'm in that sweet by and by. Hallelujah. Praise God. All of my tomorrows have become my todays. Amen. When the time catalog gets thrown away, there's no more tomorrows. Can I say something right here? Where is tomorrow? I challenge somebody to show me tomorrow. Show me tomorrow. Where is yesterday? Somebody show me yesterday. You understand what I'm saying? Where is yesterday? Somebody show me yesterday if there's a yesterday. Somebody show me tomorrow if there's a tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? In God there is no yesterdays. Just because you pillow your head down somewhere and close your eyes for a little rest, that don't mean nothing to God. You say, but Brother Pike, that's our yesterday and tomorrow. Then what's God going to do? The Bible said, he that keepeth Jacob or keepeth Israel shall not slumber. Where is God's tomorrow and yesterday? You understand what I'm saying? The Bible said God reckoned time from evening until morning. Isn't that right? Then it looks like that we got the cart ahead of the horse because we're saying from the morning until the evening. There's something wrong. What's the matter? The world full of shadows, full of evil. Ever since Eve fell from the garden experience, it's been dark. God saw them go into that darkness, leaving the Shekinah glory of the garden. God said, son, from this evening of your fall until the morning of Calvary shall be darkness. But when Calvary comes, and when the day star dawns in your heart, everything will be bright. The Bible said if your eyes be single, then your body is full of light. Isn't that right? But if your eye be evil, then your body is full of darkness. Now what is God talking about? My eyes of understanding? My understanding being enlightened. If my understanding is single, if I'm not double-minded, the eyes of my understanding, if it's just one in the Word, my whole body is filled with the light of God's knowledge. But if my eye of understanding be evil thoughts, then am I double-minded, and my whole body be filled with darkness. So then from evening until morning, and the Bible said it was the first day. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery, not mistress, not plural. I said the other night, not many mysteries. Though the mystery of the kingdom, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness. But that isn't what he's saying. He said in the days of the voice of that seventh angel, the mystery, single, individual, one. The mystery shall be finished. What kind of mystery is it? The mystery of godliness. Because he said the mystery of God should be finished. And what is the mystery of godliness? Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. For God, who is a spirit, was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, and caught up into heaven. Amen. The mystery of godliness. What is the mystery of godliness? Now, that's a statement. But, beloved friend, Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, and I am made a steward of that mystery. He said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that God may make known to you the mystery of godliness. For the mystery of godliness is a great thing. And when the mystery of godliness is finished, then all of that which pertains to God will be finished, made known, and the end of the world will be here. How can that be, Brother Pike? Because God spoke this world into existence. I just wish we had time to do so much to say. There's no possible way to even crowd it in tonight. Listen, God spoke this world into existence. How many of you agree to that? How did God speak this world into existence? By allowing Eve's mind to go into the darkness. Because all that this world is a figment of imagination. All that this world is just a bunch of thoughts. Is that right? All this world is a bunch of lying vanities, even the walls. That's why when the Son of God came up out of the grave, he just walked through the walls. Amen. Why did he do that? Because it wasn't anything but a lying vanity. That's all it was. That's why Jonah called the belly of the whale a lying vanity. Jesus just walked through the wall. Somebody said, well, that's called it with a spirit. He said, fill of me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Amen. Isn't that right? He walked right through the walls, didn't he do it? Amen. Why? Because God has set the world in your heart. Are you listening? There is no world except in your heart, in your thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. There is no kingdom of God except in your heart, in your thinking. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. I will feed him the fruits of his thoughts. See, by God allowing the mind of Satan to come into Eve, God spoke the world into existence. You understand? The world is types. The world is shadows. God spoke the world into existence. He called it a veil darkly. It is a veil that is over the minds of the people, untaken away even unto this day, except the mind of Christ come and dissolve it. I will destroy with the brightness of my coming, he said, the image of perversion with the brightness of his light, like these lights that's used for the camera tonight. The brighter the light gets, the more the shadows leave. Look out here in the audience. See, it's darker out there than it is up here. It's lighter up here than it is out there. Yet you're in light. Isn't that right? But you're not in the great light. The church today isn't in the great light. For with the brightness of his coming, he said, I will destroy the image of perversion. When the Ancient of Days said, what happened? The Bible said in the great light, the Ancient of Days, John said, I saw him. What happened? He said, before his presence, his face, his eyes, he said, the entire earth fled away. There wasn't any place for it. He said, the mountains fled away. Is that right? Everything fled away. Why? It dissolved. The great light got brighter, and it dissolved. See, it was nothing but shadows to begin with. Now, somebody say, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. But did you know that scientists have learned that everything is just a bunch of molecules? Is that right? Bunch of atoms. And then they break it on down. They get on down into the electrons and the little sparks. And finally, it's nothing but just little elements of light. Come on. You understand what I'm saying? So it just dissolves. There's nothing to it. It's in your heart. That's the only place it exists. And it's the same way with the kingdom of God. See, if God spoke the world into existence by speaking it into my heart, by saying, let there be, and there was. Then today, the same voice of God through his ministry today is saying, it shall not be, and it is not. Amen. See, if God veiled himself, the revelation of Christ, in the darkness, which is intellectual reasoning, then the world came into existence. And God, in every form of life, every form of need, presents himself to mankind. To serve them, to educate them. But listen, friend, we are at the end of the world now. It is not the minister speaking, but it is God. Now, if it is God, what is God doing? God is speaking the world out of existence. God is speaking the world out of existence. I said, Brother Pike, I can't see that. Wake up. Listen. Be spiritual. God is a spirit. How is God speaking the world out of existence? Look at those people that are out yonder in the world. Now listen. Those people in the world, why are they in the world? Because the world is in them. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. Praise God. But look at the saints of God that's come into the light of God that's been born of the Shekinah on the inside. Where is the world? They delight after the things of God on the inside. They have no desire for the world, no feeling for the world, no thought for the world. They don't enjoy the passions and benefits of the flesh, the human senses. Why? Because the kingdom of God's on the inside of them. That means that they've changed worlds. They've passed from one dimension unto another dimension. You understand what I'm saying? How was it that Enoch was translated by faith? With the heart, man believeth. How was he then translated by faith that he should not see death? Somebody said, well, he's coming back to see death, Brother Pike. It's appointed unto man to die after that, the judgment. Every man must die. But the Bible said he was translated by faith that he should not see death. If he has to come back and die, then the scriptures is broken, and the Bible said the scriptures can't be broken. So then, he is translated that he should not see death. We are translated, we pass from death unto life. Isn't that right? That we should not see death. See, we don't have to die. Enoch was not under the law. If Enoch had been under the law, he'd had to come back and die. That's why Moses has to come back. Though Moses was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah was on the Mount of Transfiguration. But he has to come back and die. Why? They were under the law. But Enoch was not under the law. Enoch was translated by faith. They that are under the law are fallen from grace. I'm not under the law today. He was the seventh from Adam, a type of the church. I'm free from death today. I'll pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. How do you know that? Because the Bible said so. You believe it? I believe every word of it. Jesus said, my words are spirit. God has taken the world out of my heart. And he has placed the kingdom of God within my heart. He has translated my spirit into the kingdom of God. Is that right? But listen, children of God, I'm going to come to close here because I see your interest is good. You could go on for another hour the way that you're moving in right now. But I'm not going to try to hold you. There's just so many things tonight that I'd like to say to explain, to clarify what I'm trying to say tonight. But remember this one thing. That we are not waiting for a natural Jesus. We're not waiting for that. For the Bible said, I will appear the second time without sin under salvation to them that look for me. Until the day star dawn within your heart. Is that right? Unto them that look for me, I will appear the second time without sin. Unto salvation. How? And the Lord of hosts shall suddenly come into his temple. Now you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean the spiritual Christ, which is the head of a spiritual bride, a spiritual body, a spiritual church. That spiritual head has returned for his spiritual members. Is that right? He's taking them to a spiritual heaven. Is that right? But that natural Jesus that was born to the Virgin Mary, that will come back to those natural Jews and appear or come to them in the clouds. And they say, where did you get the nails? He said, in the house of my friends. When he comes back, Moses must come back. Elijah must come back. And so will Jesus come back. All three of them appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. They will come back. Is that right? They'll come back into this world. Moses and Elijah to witness and say, this is the Christ. Did you know that they would not believe it? But when Moses stand there, and when Elijah stand there, resurrected from the dead, and they say, thus saith the Lord, this is him. That other one says, this is him. And then he holds out his hands, and they say, my God, where did you get them awful looking nail prints? And he says, children, I got these in the house of my friend. You remember what he said in the prophets? He said, a mother may forsake her suckling, but I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. For I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hands that I should not forget thee. I have engraved you upon the palms of my hands that I'll always be in remembrance of you. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So then we see that something is happening. What is it? See, God is doing something and the world doesn't see it. The world can't see it. That natural Jesus is coming, all right. Right there, break the clouds of heaven. But friend, listen. When he comes, that's going to be too late for you to do anything. That's going to be too late for them to do anything. Everything that can be done and should be done, that ought to be done, will be done. Is that right? Then you say, Brother Pike, you don't believe in Thessalonians chains? I don't believe in using the term rapture.
That's the way the church world does it.
All of the church world practically uses the word rapture.
There's no such teaching in the Bible. Where do you find the word rapture in the Bible? You don't find it there. That's not there. It doesn't speak of that. It says the change. Thessalonians says the change. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, from terrestrial to celestial. Isn't that right? But God also speaks line upon line and precept upon precept. And the Bible said we are changed from glory to glory. Are we? What's all of us tutoring for? When you get ready to get the diploma out there, you that go to high school, you mean you're going to miss all of schooling? Step outside, be a dropout in time. When time comes to get the diploma, you come in and say, okay, it's time. Let's go get our diploma. You know better than that. See, it's that change from grade to grade, from lesson to lesson, that brought them up to make them eligible for that thing. You understand what I'm saying? It's that teacher that's done the tutoring out there that testifies on their behalf and marks those papers that says they're eligible. So then, you're under tutors until the time appointed of the Father, which is the old Jewish bar mitzvah. You know, when the son becomes the son, though he's been a son all the time, yet he is a different nothing from a servant until that special day when daddy says, he is now my son. And then when he comes in, he can tell the servants what to do. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, they're closing out with just a word or two here because I'll never be able to get over what I'm trying to say tonight. All right, so then, what is the Lord saying to us? See, from glory to glory, faith by the hearing of the word, by faith or from faith to faith. We're changed from glory to glory into the blessed image of the Son of God. Under the tutors, we desire this, even the perfecting of your faith. What am I here for? I'm here to perfect your faith. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you're here to tell me not to chew and dip and dance with another man's wife. Not to curse and fuss. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to revelate to you, to make known unto you the benefits of the gospel of God in Christ Jesus. Is that right? I'm here to perfect your faith. You say, now, Brother Pike, we believe the minister is here to perfect us, to get us ready, to clean us up. Let me tell you something, children of God. If the blood of Jesus Christ wasn't sufficient to clean you up and me up, we might as well to quit. There's nothing better coming out of Brother Pike or anybody else. That blood was sufficient for that. I'm here to preach the Word of God so that you'll know your benefits in God and know that you're cleansed through His blood and cleansed through His Spirit. And once you get the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you'll talk right and cheer right and act right and dance with the right partner too. Amen. It'll take care of every bit of it. Jesus said, cleanse the inside of the platter and everything will be all right.
Amen.
All right. So then, we realize that something has taken place. I wish we had time to elaborate, children of God, tonight, to really go into it the way that we'd like to go into it. But I realize that some of you are pressed with necessity. You have to get home. You have to go to work tomorrow. I understand that. But I wish that we could just expound a little bit more of what we have learned in Him. I want you to stand with me. You know, we need to know what time is. We need to know when it came and if it left, and if so, when it left, or when it's going to leave. We need to understand, children of God. Pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation. I thank God because I have received the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, a big question looms up into the hearts of the people, and they say, Brother Pike, a man said that he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul was a man. He said, and there was given unto me the revelation of Jesus Christ. John was a man. There was given unto him the revelation of Jesus Christ. Is that right? All right. Somebody would say, as I said the other night, Brother Pike, there's a lot of revelation that you haven't got, a lot of revelation that others know. And you mean to stand there and tell me that you've got every bit of it? Paul had the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Paul made the statement, I doubtless shall come to revelation.
Amen.
Is that right? I doubtless shall come to vision and revelation. So it sounded like there was more revelation that Paul was going to get, and more visions too. Isn't that right? But he also acknowledged the fact that he had the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of difference between a revelation and the revelation. And I thank God tonight for the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right. So it's wonderful to know from beginning to end what God intended, what God did, and what God has in store. And that's what the revelation of Jesus Christ is. So I thank God tonight for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you do not have the spirit of revelation, then pray that God will give you the spirit. Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what he means there is for those that are lost and undone without God, that they should get in and be born again and get the spirit of God. That isn't what he means at all. That isn't what he means at all. Because he said, if you don't have the spirit of revelation, pray that God will grant it unto you. Now he couldn't have been talking about sinners. Because the Bible said, we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. Amen. Why would he tell a sinner to pray when God isn't going to hear his prayer? Is that right? All right. Somebody would say, well, how in the world did you get saved then? You think you got saved because you prayed. The Bible said, you didn't seek me, I sought you. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. You was elected in the mind of God before the world ever was. Brother Wilson just come and told you about it, and you just latched onto the wagon. You love Jesus? All right. Then who prayed for me? Jesus said, Father, I pray for these. I don't pray for the world, but I pray for these. And I'm not lost to one of them that you give me. Is that right? All right. So the son of perdition was a devil from the beginning. He was lost, but the rest of them was saved. Isn't that right? The sons of God were saved. Is that right? Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God, what security? You talk about being. Hallelujah. You're talking about security. I'm talking about eternal security. God, the great light, the heavenly fountain that's overflowing from glory. Saying, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love him, can we? My brother Taylor's playing on the piano. Let's just make love to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Father, tonight we love you for your wonderful presence. Dear God, for your wonderful blessings tonight. And we ask you to be with us. And we ask you to help us. And dear God, we ask you to touch us tonight. Father, in every way tonight, may thy spirit make us whole, Father. May thy glory come in abundance tonight. Speak from heaven tonight, Lord. Bless us with your blessings, Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, in every way, we know that you are our Savior. In Jesus' name, we ask you to hear us tonight. Hallelujah.